And coming to us from Monterey County, we have Supervisor Luis Alejo. Thank you, Luis, for joining us here on Talk of the Bay.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So you have a very large county with many agricultural workers, and during this time, they're considered essential employees, and yet, from what I hear, they are not protected as well as they could be from the coronavirus, given that they have to travel often to and from the fields in groups and have to live in crowded conditions. How are you and your fellow supervisors working to help this population stay safe during this time?
Well, those are very valid concerns. We've heard them from the community, but we've especially heard them from the ag industry in Monterey County. We're considered the salad bowl of the world. We know that we produce a lot of the lettuce, the celery, broccoli, cauliflower, wine grapes, and strawberries. So we feed the nation. So we knew that early on, we didn't have to wait for some regulation or some state law. Our ag associations, our Farm Bureau, our Ag Commissioner, our growers and shippers, our wine vintners, even our cannabis industry, we all came together to devise the first protocols and the best practices for protecting ag workers in the nation. It came out of Monterey County because we wanted to lead and not wait, because ensuring greater protection for ag workers is also ensuring greater protection for our ag economy in places like Monterey County. We know that if there was a situation where workers got sick or there was an outbreak, that would also have an impact on the industry. But certainly, if there's measures that we could take to protect these essential workers, because they're not only essential workers, these are our relatives, our neighbors, our family members. We care about them very deeply, and I'm glad that I work with Supervisor Chris Lopez in my county to set the example and be a model for the nation.
What are some of the protocols, and then how would you enforce them?
Well, we were early on. March 20th, we came out with the first draft. And so we saw it as a living document that we were going to keep amending it as we got feedback from folks in the industry and in the community that we could strengthen particular areas. So we started out with certainly ensuring that there was a frequent washing of hands, sanitizing the work areas, social spacing, not only in the food processing plants, but even in the fields, discouraging grouping. But most recently, we knew that there was some other unique needs. For example, the season is just starting. We have an increasing number of H-2A workers coming into the region. We had to make sure we're protecting them and adding additional protections for employer-sponsored housing. But just last Monday, we also included in the protocols for face coverings that every ag worker should have face coverings at work. We know that there was a long history. Some of the workers always did that, but we wanted to make sure every worker did that. And now we're seeing the images come out of the fields. We just saw Bud Antle. We saw a strawberry grower just this morning where they're showing how they're implementing making this ag advisory work in the fields. And so now we're seeing the images of farm workers actually doing the social spacing, having their faces covered. I think that's what our state and I think our country should see, that we're making this work. And I'm really proud of the leadership of not only of our farm workers, but certainly our farmers who have embraced it. And now they are implementing the training and implementing the protocols.
It sounds like it's a mostly voluntary program. Is there any enforcement component to it, or is it mostly self-policing, or how does it work?
It is voluntary, but just a few days ago, Cal OSHA, which is the body in the state that oversees worker safety, worker protection, they came out with their guidance. And I would say that the advisory that came out of Monterey County is much stronger, much more comprehensive for workers. And I think the state could actually strengthen theirs more and institute many of the recommendations and protocols that we're doing. It is voluntary, but like I said, what we're seeing is this has been worked with the ag industry. It's embraced by the ag industry, and we're actually seeing this really work in a very positive way. I think it's not only that you need to have enforcement. I think the industry recognizes that if they do not take the proper measures to protect workers and protect the industry, there could be adverse consequences in the future. We saw that with outbreaks, for example, with E. coli. It really hurt the ag industry, and that's why they instituted and led on ensuring food safety measures to protect the industry and to offset any potential adverse impacts that they could see in the future. I think the same exists here. I think there's a recognition that if we're not ahead of this, that it could have an adverse impact on the ag industry. So there's many different reasons why I think this is working the way it is. And I think right now, I think the state is looking for our leadership to see how they could perhaps make this statewide in California.
It sounds like the spacing in the fields is working from what you said with the imagery of showing how far people are apart. What can be done about what happens after they go home where people are crowded because of the high cost of housing? Is there anything being done about that?
Well, certainly educating workers about safety, about removing their clothing and their shoes. These are all things that people who work in other essential businesses are encouraged to do as well. Social distancing, for example, it's not easy. It's much more complex. It's harder to do in agriculture. They have to do more trips through the different rows of crops. For example, they need more harvesters at time. Even in busing workers, for example, we've recommended them making more trips and even keeping social distancing within the buses. It is more complex, but I think Monterey County is showing that it can work with the commitment of the industry, not being forced to do it, but the industry saying this is what we need to do if we're going to protect this industry. But I think as we're implementing that educational component for workers is critical. I think Monterey County, we're now doing recordings, advertisements to come out on TV and on radio to educate this particular workforce about how they could greater protect themselves, not only at work, but also getting to work and going home as a means to also protect their families. So I think there's many different strategies that I think we recognize that we need to do, and we're implementing them in these weeks and months ahead.
You mentioned the visa issue. At one point, I read an article that was quite worrisome that said there was a real backlog or that they were suspending the centers in Mexico where people go to start their paperwork. Do you know if that's been fixed? Because it seemed quite alarming that the number of workers needed was going to be, far beyond what was actually coming their way. What do you know about that situation, whether that's improved?
I have not heard that it has improved. I know there's a lot of challenges with the H-2A program, and with the ongoing labor shortage in California, it's making it more difficult. Local farms are having to depend more on recruiting H-2A workers. We're seeing farms, even before this crisis hit, a lot of California farms are now even growing in Mexico and different states. That has been the trend in agriculture. There is a lot of difficulties, but even during this COVID-19 crisis, even though they are exempted as essential businesses and workers, we are paying close attention to the market, because even though the retail sector for agriculture has an increase in demand, for example, our grocery stores, the Walmarts and Safeways, they're buying more. There has been a real steep decline in the food service division sectors for many of these companies, with restaurants and hotels and a lot of tourism industry being closed. Those contracts and that demand has obviously decreased in a very big way. So everything is not good in agriculture. We're paying close attention to it, but the public should be aware that there are these fluctuations. The longer that the orders are in place, I believe we will be seeing an adverse impact even on the demand for food in agriculture.
And not to mention possible export lines of trade being interrupted by this. So I'm sure you're watching
exactly.
It very closely. Well, Luis, I want to thank you for calling in. I hope you will be another frequent guest on this program. We would like to keep our listeners informed about what's happening in Monterey County with the ag industry and everything else that you cover. So thank you for taking the time, and I hope to hear from you again.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Yes, you too. That's Supervisor, former State Assemblyman Luis Alejo, calling in from Monterey County. And this is Talk of the Bay, KSQD Santa Cruz. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman. And don't forget, on Sunday nights, it's Be Bold America. They'll be taking up the issue of the national popular vote, which aims to guarantee the presidency to the candidate who receives the most popular votes across the country. It's been enacted in 15 states and aims to make the Electoral College irrelevant. Find out more on Be Bold America at 5 p.m. this Sunday with your host, Jill Cody. And I'm your host, Rachel Ann Goodman. It's time now for First Person Singular. That'll be followed by The Golden with Wallace Bain. And after that, it's jazz throughout your evening with Jazz in the Evening. Thank you so much. This is KSQD Santa Cruz, 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station.